I'd like to share with you some of my experiences of being with Baba in May of 1958, when I first saw him, and in November of 1962, when I saw Baba for the last time. My story begins with my mother, for it was my mother who brought me to Baba. So I'd like to give you just a little background of how she came to hear of Baba. My mother was producing theater in Durham, North Carolina, where we were all born. And in the summer of 1954, Mother was asked to become the associate producer of the Myrtle Playhouse, which was only about 4 hours away. She accepted, and it was there that she met Zosie Pitts, who was to become her first lead to Baba. Some of you may remember Zosie. She was a famous film star and comedian, and two of her best friends were Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbank Jr., who of course met Baba in 1932 in Hollywood. Now, Zosie didn't get to meet Baba, but she heard a lot about Baba from her two friends. And she had always hoped to meet Baba, but she didn't meet him on that trip. Well, my mother and Zosie became very good friends, and although Baba's name did not come up at this time, when they parted ways that summer, Zosie turned to my mother and said, "Jane, one day you will have your own theater, and when you do, I will come and open it for you." Which meant, of course, in theater language, that he'd come and do the first show of the season. Well, my mother sort of laughed, didn't think that would ever happen. And so my mother went back to Durham and continued to produce theater and to direct plays. And we would go to Myrtle Beach, by the way, in every summer, because my grandmother had a summer home there. But of course, we had no inkling that the center was there. Well, in May of 57, my mother began to experience what she later recognized as deep spiritual awakening. And outwardly, everything seemed the same. She was doing very well. Everything was successful. But inwardly, she was experiencing a deep spiritual crisis. And it was at the height of this experience that she received an offer to take over the Myrtle Beach Playhouse. And also at this time, my mother and father decided to separate. And so we moved to Myrtle Beach, meaning mother took all of the children with her. Now, of course, mother remembered Zezu's promise of 3 years before that it came to her. And she called Zezu in California and she said, "Zezu, would you come and open up my theater? Because I do have a theater like you said I would." And so Zezu said, "Of course." And she came to open the theater with a wonderful, the season with a wonderful play called Gold Cadillac. I don't know if you know that play, but it was a great success. And while she was there, there wasn't much for her to do in Myrtle Beach, which is still true, I think. But so mother made some arrangements for Zosie to see some beautiful homes. As it turned out, one of these homes belonged to Eileen Coates. And some of you may know Eileen. She now lives on the edge of the center. But at that time, she had a beautiful home in Bradford and was very, very well-known home because of her aviary with many varieties of birds. So mother arranged for Zezu to come and see this lovely home. Well, when we got inside, suddenly Zezu saw a photograph of Father. And she recognized Father immediately. And it all came back to her. She had forgotten from the 30s, you see. And she remembered everything. And she immediately asked about Baba, and she said, "May I see him? Where is he?" And Eileen explained to her that Baba was not here, but that there was a center for Baba down the road. In the meantime, my mother's looking at the photograph, and she flashes back to many years before when her father had an article in his newspaper. He was the editor of a newspaper in Durham, an article on Baba's visit to America. And she remembered the word spiritual master. So when she's looking at this picture, she recognizes the hand in the photograph. It's the same hand in the photograph from the article. Well, Eileen offered to take Zezu to see the center. And the arrangements were made. And the plan was that mother would go and open up the theater, and Eileen would come to the theater and pick Zezu up. Well, the day arrived, and mother's at the theater on time, and Eileen's at the theater on time, but Zezu never showed up. And they waited, and she didn't come.
was that naturally Eileen began to get a little upset, you see, because in those days it took a lot of arranging to open the center up because Elizabeth and Kitty were not living where they are now, the river, they were way downtown, and people were not staying on the center. So naturally Eileen was upset, and she insisted that Mother go and visit his friend. My mother really had no interest in going to the center, but she thought to appease this woman, you know, she would go. And I'd like to just stop here for a moment and back up to just a few days before, to when Norina Machiavelli passed away. Norina had been ill for some time, and she had always asked Elizabeth, when I go to Barbara, don't grieve for me, let me go, be happy for me. So Elizabeth kept her word, and the night of the service, she had tickets to my mother's theater. And she had tickets for herself and Kitty and Margaret. And so they went to the theater that night, and they arrived late. And my mother was standing at the doorway for some reason. She was collecting tickets, and we don't know why, but because she never did that. But she happened to be at the door, and Elizabeth used to tell this story. And she said that as they were coming up the walk, she looked up and saw the most beautiful woman standing there with a very welcoming smile. And my mother said to them, "Come in, I've been waiting for you." Just like that. My mother has no recollection of that at all. So that's why I didn't really talk to her. Well, it was the very next day that my mother appeared at the center. And so naturally, they recognized her as the woman from the theater. And being who they were, they didn't say, "Where's the star? What happened to her? And why are you here?" They just greeted her very warmly and showed her around the center. My mother was immediately drawn to Elizabeth and Kitty, of course. And she was stunned by the beauty of the center. She'd never known that such a place existed so close to her theater and to Durham, North Carolina. Well, the last thing that they showed her that day was Baba's house. And as they drove up to the house, my mother burst into tears. And she turned to Elizabeth and explained that she recognized the fence around the house. Because during that period before, when she'd had that spiritual awakening, she had a vision. And in the vision was the most unusual fence she had ever seen. It was very tall. And just over the top, you could see a roof peeking over. And as they drove up to Baba's house, she recognized that fence. So naturally, she knew something was up. After my mother's visit to the center, our lives began to change. And I don't remember too much about what I was told of Baba, but I did understand that the center was Baba's home. And I knew that Baba lived in India, even though I didn't know where India was. I was 6 years old at the time. And I also knew that Baba was someone very special to Elizabeth and Kitty. And I remember well my first meeting with Elizabeth and Kitty. My mother drove me to Yupan Dune. And Yupan Dune, by the way, you know, I think was Elizabeth and Kitty's home. It used to be Elizabeth's father's home. And it was the home where Baba recuperated from the 1952 accident. So we drove up to the house. And at the top of the steps, Elizabeth was waiting for us. She was wearing a blue dress, and she had the most beautiful white hair. And I remember walking up to the top of the steps, and as I got to the top, Elizabeth leaned over with such a beautiful smile. You know how she do, she leaned way down, and she said, "You must be Wendy. You may call me Auntie Boo." Well, I went inside and met Kitty. And I remember asking Kitty, "Oh," I said, "Kitty, like a kitty cat." She said, "Oh, yes, like a kitty cat." So I of course, loved them instantly. And from that time on, they were to become a very big part of our lives. Those were such happy times. We used to go to the center. We used to pack up picnics, and even the original kitchen, just us, Elizabeth, Auntie Boo, and Kitty, and sometimes Margaret, if she was there, and my mother and the children. And you see, because no one was staying there, and left Father himself was there. So it was completely empty, if you can imagine that. And we would sit in the original kitchen and have wonderful lunches and picnics. And I also used to take long walks down the beach with Kitty and Banjo. And Banjo was a dachshund that belonged to Elizabeth and Kitty. And I remember trying to keep up with Kitty, but I couldn't walk so fast. But she always used to let me try to run up and catch up with her. I also learned, it's a vivid memory for me, I hope Kitty won't mind my saying, but she taught me how to braid hair. And I used to practice on Kitty's hair. And I never have forgotten how to plait hair because of that. And I remember our first Christmas. It was in Yukon Dunes. And we, Kitty directed us meeting the three children, John, Charles, and I, in a little play. Along with help from Daphne, who was an Auntie Boo's niece. And the little play was based on nursery rhymes, and one of them was, the only one I remember was three men in a tub, rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub, something like that. And at the crucial moment, I fell out of the tub, because my brothers got a little carried away, you see, rocking the tub back and forth. So I rolled out onto the floor, I never forget. Everybody started laughing. So that was very memorable for Christmas. Well, then the news came that Baba was coming. And although I couldn't grasp the full import of what that meant, I did know that now I would see this man that meant so much to Elizabeth and Kitty and that my mother wanted to meet so much. And I was very excited because everyone else was excited. Everybody was focusing on Baba's visit. And everything was in readiness for him coming. The most exciting thing in that time was my mother took me shopping for a new dress to wear for Donna. And it was so sweet because we looked and looked, and I remember shopping for this dress, you know. And suddenly we finally found one. And it was a lovely purple dress with sleeveless and had dotted slits all over it. And it was purple with a white collar. But the best thing of all was that my mother found one just like it. So they were mother and daughter dresses. And I'd never had one before. So it was so exciting to me that we had these twin dresses, you see. Well, Baba arrived on May 17th. My mother met Baba on May 19th. My eldest brother, John, met him on the 20th. My brother, Charles, met him on the 21st. And I met Baba on the 22nd. Now, I don't know if Baba did that on purpose, that we met him in order of age, but that's how it happened. And on the 21st, the day that Charles met Baba, Kitty had an idea that it would be good for Baba to see the film that had been taken 2 years before in Baba's 56th visit by Charlie and Deuce. And so she suggested the films be shown in my mother's theater. And Baba was very pleased. It's a good idea, Kitty. So that was the plan. And Baba turned to my mother and said, be sure that Wendy is there at the theater when I come, because I hadn't yet met Baba. And so Mother promised. Well, the next day dawned, and my mother and I put on our new dresses. And I don't remember driving to the theater. I only remember waiting in the foyer. And I was clutching my mother's hand, and she was on my right side, and we were waiting for Baba to arrive. And suddenly, Baba appeared in the doorway, and he was very beautiful. Baba, I saw it was wonderful. Baba's face was lit up. He looked so happy to see me. And the dancers were carrying Baba in the chair. And they had him. Baba motioned for them to put the chair down. And Baba looked at me. And the first thing Baba did was, and I knew that he loved my dress. And I was so happy, so touched that Baba liked my dress and that he noticed we had the same dress on. And the next thing Baba did was he motioned how tall I had gotten. And it didn't occur to me, of course, but how could Baba know? it seemed perfectly natural. And I had gotten very tall suddenly, because everybody was talking about how tall one you was. And then the next thing I knew, Baba beckoned to me. And I ran into his arms, and he held me for a long time. Whenever I was with Baba, I felt that time stopped. There was no sense of a beginning or an end. So those embraces seemed to go on forever, but I heard later that it was really quite short. Erich informed me that all of that only took about 2 or 3 minutes, you see, but it seemed like forever. And then Baba began to play with me. And he did this, he pushed me back and pushed me, pulled me forward, pushed me back, and kept doing this like this, and I was laughing and giggling, it was so wonderful. And then Baba grabbed my face, I squinched it up, and I tried to talk, and it was so pleasant. And Baba laughed, and he kept doing that, you see. And then Baba said, Baba motioned, came to an end, and Baba motion for the dancers to pick him up and take him inside to where the film was to be shown. And, well, I panicked. I remember feeling afraid because I felt that I couldn't be with him now because he was being taken inside. And I immediately turned to Baba. I remember looking up and saying, but Baba, can I stay with you? And Baba looked so pleased and looked down and he patted the side of his chair. Stay here. So we went in together, and I plopped down at Baba's right foot, and I remember noticing a minute later that Charles plopped down at his left foot. We were very aggressive, you see, without knowing we were. And suddenly, for the first time, I remembered my mother, and that was quite extraordinary that I would forget her for so long. She was really the focus of my life, and I suddenly remembered. Oh, no. So I turned around, and so, sure enough, at that moment, Mother was going, you know, a little concerned because we were so much at Baba, so close to Baba, and she was afraid maybe we were being a little too forward or something. And Baba, at that instant, Baba turned around and emotionally, let them be, Jane, let them be. So I was so happy because we could stay with Baba during the whole film. So, I don't remember seeing the film. I didn't look at the film. I looked at Baba's right foot most of the time. And I looked up at Baba. I would sort of alternate. Maybe I glanced up a couple of times. But and every time I looked out, Baba would do something, tweak on the cheek or pat my head, pat my shoulder, twinkle at me like this. It was a wonderful moment while the film was going on. I have no recollection of leaving the theater. As I say, but my memories of Baba of that time were like flashes of lightning. And the most vivid moments were when I was actually with Baba. I don't remember the details of getting anywhere, being brought back and forth, anything like that. My most vivid memory after that meeting was the birthday party, of course, the next day. And just when Baba arrived, my mother had ordered a beautiful garland of pink carnation. And so Charles and I had the privilege of taking this garland, of garlanding Baba as soon as he came. So as soon as he arrived up on the area where the party was, we ran up and got, and Baba, oh, Baba, it's so pretty, and we put the garland around Baba's neck. And from, of course, got a wonderful and great doctor, the two of us together. And then we plopped down right in front of Baba at the picnic table, you know, the long table that was in front of Baba. And Charles sat on one side and I sat on the other. And we would look at Baba and all the children were arriving and everything. Well, one thing that happened was that this woman was taking photographs. And they're the kind that come out right away, you know, the Polaroid kind. And this wonderful pile of photographs was piling up in front of me, sort of looking at them. I don't remember who the woman was who was taking them, but she turned to me and she said, "Would you like to take them up to Donna?" I said, "Oh, yes." And so without thinking, I grabbed the first one, the top one, and I ran up to Donna to show it to her. And Donna, it looked so pretty. Oh. And he was so attentive to this photograph, you see. And it was of himself, but he was still just doing it for me. And then I went back to the table and I got another one. So I was intuitively very clever, you see. I didn't plan it that way, but I took each picture up one at a time so that I could keep going up to Baba. And this went on, and he never let on that he knew what I was doing. Well, another thing that happened was that I noticed people were getting to hold the umbrella for Baba over his head, and I was beginning to want to do that myself, you see. And I kept watching this umbrella being passed from person to person. Baba would call for Anita and ask her to hold the umbrella, and then he'd call for someone else. And the more I saw this, the more I wanted to hold the umbrella. I wanted so much to hold the umbrella. And this longing grew and grew and grew. You know how it is with children, especially. I just wanted so much to hold that umbrella for Baba. And just when I thought I couldn't stand it another moment, Baba said, "Would you like to hold the umbrella?" Oh, yes. Didn't occur to me. How could he know that? I just knew that he knew. And so I got to hold the umbrella again. I don't know for how long. It seemed like a long time. And then Baba had Bill come and take it from me. Another thing I remember during the birthday party was that Baba gave us prasad, of course, some candy. And when I went up to take my piece of candy, Baba did something that I've never forgotten. And he took my chin in his hands and he brought it up to his forehead. And had me kiss him right there on his forehead. But I was little, see, so I remember that wonderful motion upwards and kissing Baba on his forehead right there. It happened very quickly, but it was such a vivid, beautiful movement. Well, that day we went for a ride in the gondola, and I remember Baba standing on the bridge, looking very, very happy, and watching the gondola go out and wave out the children, and we were waving back like that. It was so wonderful to be out on the lake and see Baba standing on the bridge. Another memory I have is standing on the barn steps, waiting for Baba, and I'm not sure. I think Baba was coming, that's it. Baba was arriving. And I was standing on the steps waiting for Baba, hoping to get a kick or a tweak or a cheek or something. And sure enough, Baba came up and saw me. He always lit up, you know, he always made you feel you were the only one there. And Baba said, "Oh, thank you." And he gave me, he had me give him an embrace like this. And I remember reaching up to hug Baba. Well, during all this time, I never noticed Baba's silence. It seemed so natural that he was using his hands, and one always knew what Baba was saying. At least he kept it very simple for me, anyway. And I never really noticed that Baba wasn't talking. And I also I don't remember Erich at all. I have no memory of anyone interpreting for Baba. I always seemed to know what Baba was saying. During this time, also, Kitty asked Baba about our father, about the separation. Kitty was concerned about the fact that my mother and father, that we would be without a daddy. And she asked Baba, "Baba, what about Jane and Charles, meaning my father? Should they separate?" And Baba said, Baba went like this and said, "Yes, the separation is final." And then Kitty said, "Well, but Baba, what about the children? Don't they need a father?" And Baba said, "Don't worry, Kitty. Well, you see, I am their father." Well, Baba left on May 30th, and everything felt quite different after that. And everything had changed, because that was the beginning of our life with Baba. And I can't remember what life was like without Barbara before that time. Looking back, I realized that I didn't understand who Baba was. All I knew was that I loved him with all my heart and that I wanted to stay with him always, and I didn't want him to go. It wasn't until later that I came to know that Baba was the Christ and that I knew him. And it wasn't until I was an adult, not sure when that happened, but when I became an adult, that I began to discover what it means to love Baba and to try to live a life to him. Well, in June of that year, just a month after Baba left, we received our first cable from Baba, and I'd like to share that with you. It was to my mother. In June of 58 it came, and it was addressed to Jane. Keep happy in my love, and let your dear three little ones love me more and more. Love, Baba. Well, a few months after Baba's visit, we moved to New York City. And my mother wanted to study acting with Lee Strasberg After Studio, and she asked for Baba's blessing, and Baba gave it and said yes, and they go to New York. And we were to be there for almost 8 years. Well, the highlight of those years are marked by cables and messages that came directly from Baba and Mara and Manny, sometimes directly and sometimes through Elizabeth and Kitty Ellie Kitt. And they would always come at a time when we needed them so much, especially my mother. Life in theater is not easy, you know, and for anyone. they would always come out of the blue for no apparent reason. Don't worry, be happy, I'm with you. Or don't be afraid, I'm always with you. Always something like that. Well, Charles had a dog named Bob, and I had a cat named Pop. And Baba would always include them in messages when we got the animals, and little cards would come with pictures of kitty cats on them from Monty. And I thought you might like to hear a poem that Monty wrote about my cat and sent to me when I was a little girl. I am Puff, a bit of fluff from the garment of his love. With his breath I was born on a journey forlorn, until at last I landed like a happy, happy dove in the home of his own, where only love I have known from sweet Wendy, her brothers, and Jane. Even Buck, who looks rough, is more than gentle enough, for I am Baba's kitten, though vain. And that was the picture on the front, you see. Well, another highlight of those years was going to the Monday night meetings and getting to know the Monday night group in New York City. It was so wonderful knowing Fred Ella, Winterfelt, John Bass, Marion Florshine. We got to know the Shaws a bit, even though they weren't there all the time. Phyllis Fredericks was there. So many old timers. And it was like having another family. And it was a wonderful family. Another thing that we looked forward to so much was going to the center. We would go every Christmas and every summer. And sometimes at Easter and Thanksgiving, as often as possible. And also, we loved the best visits were from when Annie Boo would come. And she would take us out to restaurants. She was very brave, you see, because the children would get... We were rather overwhelming sometimes. We'd be very naughty in the restaurant. Never seemed to put Annie Boo off. She would still take us to a restaurant when she came. But we looked forward to that so much. And sometimes she'd come more than once a year. On two occasions, my mother had a show that went on the road. And Charles and I and John were very blessed to have the best babysitter in the world, Miss Kitty Davies, who came to babysit for us. And I can't tell you what fun it was, because Kitty knew a lot of games, and she knew that would be a good way to keep us out of trouble. she taught us how to play canasta and backgammon, and Scrabble, and she loved to take walks, and we did too. So we would walk Buff in the park. Buff was a beautiful collie, by the way. And sometimes, probably more than sometimes, Charles and I would get into these squabbles, and Kitty would have to try to separate us, you see. So she'd jump between us and say, "Johnny Doe, Johnny Doe." And that was what Baba had said to them in the ashram. It means let it go, let it go. And I still remember Kitty trying to stop us, like doing Johnny Doe. And sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't work. Kitty tried anyway. But I've never forgotten that Johnny Doe, let it go. Well, the news came that we could go to see Baba in India. And this was the news we'd been waiting for since 1958. It was all we lived for, was the possibility of seeing Baba again. And this, of course, was to be the East-West Gathering. It would be the first time that lovers of Baba from the East and the West would gather with Baba. And as you know, there would be about 150 of us from America and Europe and Australia, and over 5,000, I think, from India and all over Pakistan. And Baba said that we could be with him for 4 days at darshan. Well, this was a very exciting trip, and I would like to just share a few highlights with you. First of all, I was 11 by this time, and this was to be my first trip on an airplane, and of course out of the country. I'd never been out of the country before, so I was very excited about that. And I was also going to miss 3 weeks at school, which is always exciting. And my friends thought I was very strange, of course. I was. But especially for going to India, and they couldn't understand it. But I was very excited about being able to go. And we went over with, we went on the plane with Auntie Boo and Kitty, and Ruth White, who was by that time 93 years old, and Ruth was living with Annie Boo and Kitty by Baba's wish, and had been since she was in her 80s, and she was 93 this time. Well, oh, and I want to tell you that we stayed at the Truth Club, which is a very beautiful club. I think some of you have seen it. It's a private British club. It was private, and there was a wonderful racetrack in the back where we discovered later that Baba took walks around the racetrack in the early morning, because it wasn't far from Gurdwara Sahib, you see. Well, I was feeling very excited, yes, but I was also feeling very shy, because, you see, I was more self-conscious by this time at 11, quite different from 6, it was a big change. And I was feeling more in awe of seeing Baba, because now I had some idea that I was going to see God in human form. So I was feeling rather shy. So the first day came where we went to Guru Prasad, and the first thing that struck me was how beautiful Guru Prasad was. It was so big. It was a huge place to me, like, and all marble, and just so beautiful. And as you know, Baba saw the Westerners in the morning alone, just a small group of us. And so when we went inside, we got our first embrace. And as soon as Baba embraced me, I forgot about my shyness and being self-conscious about seeing Baba. And I felt all the love that I had felt before and that I had been waiting to feel his embrace all that time. Again, Baba asked me, Baba said, are you happy? Oh, yes, Baba, I'm so happy to be here with you. And then Baba motioned again, how you've grown. And then I had grown again. I had gotten very tall. And Baba said, I'm happy to see you. Well, we got to meet the girls at last. And that was so natural and so wonderful, because we felt as if we'd already knew them, because we'd had so much correspondence from Moni and Mara and Rano, and it was as natural as meeting old friends. It was so wonderful to see them at last. And I was very lucky, because I was so young. I got to spend a lot of time with the girls inside Guru Prasad, and that's where I sort of hung out, you might say. I would
even in the afternoon when everybody was in the back of the group aside, I would be in the, on the inside looking out of a window that looked out onto the platform where Baba sat. And so I would see, I would be looking at the back of Baba's head and looking at everybody out there. You see, I felt very lucky to have this little window because I had to share it with Mara. And Mara liked to look out the window. And of course, when she would come, I would move away. But there was a little curtain there, and Mara could peek out the curtain and watch Baba. And that, she loved to see everything that was going on, but nobody could see her, you see. Well, one day I was standing there, and Baba, all of a sudden, I'm peeking out the window, you see. Baba turned around like this. Baba went like this. He twinkled at me, and I knew he was saying, "Oh, I know you're there," like this. I laughed and quickly shut the curtain. And then afternoon, Mama came running up to me. I'm still inside now looking out the window, and someone had brought the most beautiful garland for Baba. And she said, "Would you like to take this to Baba?" I said, "Oh, yes." I felt a little shy about it because there were thousands of people. So, but I wanted to be with Baba so much. I said, okay, I'd love to take it. So I ran out. I went out from behind the curtain where Baba would exit, you know, onto the stage. And I went around in front of Baba like this. And Baba, this time Baba looked up, "Oh, where did you come from?" Like he was surprised, you see. And he gave me a wonderful embrace. I put the garland on, and it was the most beautiful garland of jasmine flowers, a wonderful scent of Baba and the flowers. And again, I had the sense that time stopped. Whenever I was actually with Baba, I felt that. There was no beginning and no end. And, I know there was one morning where Baba would see people individually. You know, the small groups would come to see Baba, the Myrtle Beach group, the New York group, and so on. And so we went with the Myrtle Beach group with Kitty and Andrew and Ruth. But this morning, the girls decided to dress me up in a sari, which was very exciting because I'd never been in a sari before. And it was a beautiful yellow sari with a beautiful blue blouse. And they put my hair back and they put makeup on me and everything. It was fun, very exciting. And then they said, "Now you must go show Baba, go show Baba." I felt shy again about that. And Baba was meeting with them, the group, you see, and said, "No, go tell Baba, go show Baba." And I came out, and Baba looked so happy. Baba stopped everything, and he had me come out in front. And Baba, like this. And Eric was standing there, and Eric said, "Baba says you look so beautiful, and how well you look in the sari, you see." So then, and Baba motioned for me to sit down. And then Baba said, a few minutes went by, I remember. And suddenly, Baba leaned towards me and pointed at me, and he said, "Who do you love more, Mommy or Baba?" And at that moment, I was thinking of my mother. And I went, "Ma." "Oh, no, Baba, I love you more." Like that. And Baba smiled. He knew he'd caught me, you see, but it was a wonderful lesson for me to always focus on Baba. But Baba said, "Your love for your mother pleases me." And then he said, "Always remain cheerful in my love." Well, one morning, I think it was next to the last morning, there was a Cavalli singer who was supposed to be one of the best in the land who'd come to entertain Baba. And I always tried to sit close to Baba. I didn't always get as close as I liked, but this particular morning I got right up to his chair, and I was on the right side of Baba. And I was so pleased I'd been able to work my way up there, you see. Well, it was so hot, and then this woman began to sing, that I began to get very sleepy. And it really was... I didn't appreciate the music. I should have, but I didn't understand this, you know, I need some Cavalli music like this. And so I began to get so sleepy that I started leaning against the chair, Baba's chair. And then after a while, I thought I'd get more comfortable, you see, so I put my arm up on the chair next to Baba like this. And then I must have put my head down when I fell asleep. Well, I know I fell asleep because I don't know how much later I felt this jab in my elbow. is Baba waking me up, is it? And I sat straight up like this, and Baba said, you don't like the music? I said, oh yes, Baba. And I sat up straight like this. It was so funny. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I'd fallen asleep. But Baba was laughing. And I stayed straight awake the whole time, the rest of the time, of course. Well, the next day was the last day, the last official day with Baba. And I wanted to tell you about the last embrace on this day. We were each of us to go up to Baba one at a time. And when it came my turn, I walked up to Baba, and I got within about a foot of Baba, just, you know, about like this. And suddenly I looked, I don't know whether Baba looked up or I looked down, but at that moment I met his eyes. And everything stopped, and everything in the room disappeared. And I felt as if, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but I felt like I disappeared, and it was the first time I'd ever experienced that. I was no longer there, and yet I was feeling such love coming from Baba, and I felt such a oneness, as if there was a circle of love flowing between us. But I had no consciousness of myself, and Baba's eyes were, I felt like I was drowning, and I felt as if I was falling backwards, and in that instant it stopped, and I sort of came to and realized that I was still standing on the same spot, that I hadn't moved and I hadn't fallen over. And Baba looked at me and he twinkled and he gave the most wonderful twinkle, like, how is it? How about that? It was so wonderful. And then I went forward to get my embrace from Baba. The last thing Baba said to us was, hold fast to my Dhamman with both hands and don't let go. And so I remember that the last thing I saw, as Baba left the room, flitting around the corner, my eye just happened to fall. I saw the hem of his garment flitting around the corner. Well, we went to Meherabad and Meherazad after that to see Baba's home, where he lived. And of course, Baba remained behind in Pune. And we went to see everything. When we came back, the word was sent out to everyone who was still there that we had one more opportunity to see Baba. We were so happy and couldn't believe that Baba would allow us to see him one more time. And Baba said we were to be at Boon Garden and we were to meet Baba under the tree. It reminds me, being out here is so lovely today because it reminds me of that day, this tree. It was, of course, the tree that Babajan sat under. And so everyone arrived at 7:30, and Baba was already there, seated in a chair beneath the tree. And to my memory, nothing was said. We just sat there drinking in Baba's love and his presence. And such silence was so filled that there were no need for words. Again, I had the sense, the image that kept coming to me while I was there was that we were all in this tremendous bubble, and we were suspended in air, and everybody was contained in the bubble, but it was just floating through the air, and it wasn't going to land, and it wasn't going to go up. It was just like this. We were all inside of it, and there was such an incredible, it was that feeling when we were sitting there under the tree. Well, then came time for Baba to go, and Baba went through the crowd, and I wanted so much to get close to Baba. And every time I tried to get close, I kept getting pushed back to the end of the crowd, to the back. And the harder I tried to get up close, the more I kept getting pushed back. And I thought my heart was going to break because I wanted to get close. There was a moment when somehow the crowd parted enough for me to squeeze my way up, and I got to the car, and I wasn't on Baba's side, I was on the driver's side, and The glass was halfway up, and Baba wasn't looking at me. He was looking over at the crowd. And I was crying, of course, but I was so happy now that I'd gotten up to the window. And suddenly Baba turned and looked at me, and Baba motioned, "Don't be sad.